everlasting, everlasting to everlasting.
And we will sing you
everlasting, everlasting to everlasting.
Hallelujah to our Father, to the Son and to the Spirit. Hallelujah to our Father, to the Son and to the Spirit. Hallelujah to our Father, to the Son and to the Spirit. Hallelujah to our Father, to the Son and to the Spirit. Let's sing it together. Hallelujah to our Father, to His Son and to the Spirit. Hallelujah to our Father, to the Son and to the Spirit. One more time. Hallelujah to our Father, to His Son and to the Spirit. Hallelujah to our Father, to His Son and to the Spirit. For who you are and all you do, thank you for the privilege that we have to come boldly before the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace for help in time of need, to seek your face, to serve you, to love you, to fear you, to praise you and to worship you, even like now, Lord, to climb upon your laps, Lord God, to rejoice in your presence, to sing and to hear your voice. Thank you for the privilege that we have. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for making it possible. Thank you for that possibility, Lord, that availability, Lord, of you, Lord God, for us to be able to see you and fellowship, not just one another, but with you, the Father, so that you, the Father of light, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning, you that the heavens cannot contain, you whose earth is your footstool, yet you humble yourself to behold the things in the earth, including even we mortal men. Who and what is man that you are mindful of him? But we thank you because your love, you love us so much. You love us just like you love the Lord Jesus, that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. How much more shall you not with him freely give us all things, even yourself, your divine power, Lord, divine attributes, divine life, Lord God? We do not take it for granted. We honor and we bless you. We worship and bow down and say there is no God beside you. There is no God. You alone are God. For who you are, we worship you. For the privilege that you have given us, we worship you. For that presence and that availability that you have made it possible that you are here, we worship you. We do not take you for granted. And of all that you've done, all that you are doing, all that is yet to be made manifest, we worship you and thank you. Lord Jesus, our high priest, our big brother, thank you because you're the one that has made it possible for us to be able to come to that throne room, for us to be able to enjoy that tree the Father has always had in his heart before the foundation of the world, to walk with man. Yes, to make us in his image and in his likeness, to have dominion, to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth, to show forth his glory. Lord Jesus, you are the one that has made it possible because you have become unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Thank you because the plan of redemption has been made possible through you, by you, because of you. We do not take it for granted. Thank you for that blood that was shed. And thank you, God, Holy Spirit. Yes, the wonderful helper, comforter, in the midst of all the perils of this time. Thank you, God, Holy Spirit, omnipotent, omniscient. Yes, omnipresent. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit, because you're the one that is revealing these things to us, helping us to know these things by revelation, to speak them by faith, to experience them by your love, in your mercy and in your power. Thank you, Triune Majesty, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Thank you for ministering spirits, angels from above, ministering for us even in this place. We do not take it for granted. Thy kingdom come, O God. Thy will be done. Thy glory be revealed. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Eze Bube.
Eze.
Yes, Lord.
It's your grace, all our days, we now praise you.
Hallelujah. Let's take our seats in the presence of the Lord with a clap offering unto the Lord, a shout of praise and victory. We thank you. We thank God. We thank God for his mercies. And we thank God that he's revealing himself to us more and more. In a way you can come to that place with confidence, with boldness. And it's just not scripture or letter or scripture, but reality. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is the spirit of reality. Every jot and tittle of God's thoughts, good thoughts towards us in the Bible, the Holy Spirit wants it to be a reality. You know, in this season, they talk about virtual reality. They're talking about meta. But God has always been the God of reality. You know, he's not virtual. He's real. You know, tangible. You know, once it can touch your spirit and touch your soul, you know, the physical body is just the last one. You know, we thank God that God is making his word a reality to us. Let's just bow our heads as we pray. But before then, I'd like to welcome you, and I want you to welcome the person sitting beside you on your left and your right. So welcome to Zion City Fellowship. I trust you had a wonderful week. It's good to see you. Just shake five people, you know, and ask them how the day was. Then just sit around, walk around. You know, God, by his mercy and grace, has healed us. We're strong, fellowshipping with one another. It's good to see you. It's good to have you around. The Lord bless you. Nobody is shaking me. Everybody has forgotten me. Don't forget me. Oh, the Lord bless you. Thank you so much, Usman. Thank you, guys. It's good to see everybody. You know, and when we're like this, you know, it's one thing, even beyond the four walls of the fellowship, when we see each other, you know, might be in the supermarket, might be in the taxi, you know, might be on the roadside, you know, wherever on campus, you know, let's continue to share the love with one another. And the Bible tells us that the way that the world will know that we are the disciples of Christ is when we love one another as he gave us commandments. And God will continue to grant us that grace in Jesus' name. So I give you warm greetings from Pastor Mom. It was wonderful to have Pastor last week, and we don't take it for granted. You know, a great surprise, and we don't take it for granted. He was very, very happy and touched, you know, that we're able to make it. We could have gone for prayers and done our own thing as usual, but to come and support the man of God, trust me, our prayers have been answered. You know, and God gave us the wisdom to pray it 1 hour before for August. So August, by his mercy and grace, is going to be a great month. In the name of Jesus, and the other months added together, in the mighty name of Jesus. And so let's just go into a time of the word. Father, we just come with hearts of thanksgiving. We worship and bless your holy name. Thank you again for what you have, how you have set aside this moment to come and fellowship with you, to come and hear your word, not just hear, to understand, not just understand, to receive the power and the grace to be doers of the same, to receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, so that the eyes of understanding will be further enlightened, so we'll know better the hope of your calling upon our lives, the riches of the glory of your inheritance in us as saints, and the exceeding greatness of your power, the power that you used when you raised up Jesus from the dead, that same power will abound, remain manifest to break yokes, heal infirmities, create an eternal change in our heart that will make us more like just to think like him, to talk like him, to walk like him, to fulfill our purpose and destiny, to know who we are in Christ. Lord God, to be energized and strengthened to believe and walk in the reality of these truths. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord God, because this power will go forth, Lord God, to heal diseases, Lord God, to supply needs, Lord God. It will meet us at our point of need, spiritual and body, circumstantial, in our regional heavens. Lord, so will be a reference of your joy, of your peace, a reflectors of your glory to our generation. In the name of Jesus, that you be lifted up, our men will be drawn to you, to the praise and glory of your name. Thank you, Father, because you cause the word to come forth in accuracy, in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the love and comfort of the Holy Spirit, that to do that work that you have intended to do, even in the lives of each and every one of us, those that are here, those that are hearing online, those that will be hearing later, in Jesus' name. We thank you, mighty Father, for your manifold wisdom. Thank you because you'll be magnified. Thank you for your magnificent power. Thank you because you do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, humbling ourselves before you, committing ourselves, our minds, our thoughts, our tongues, Lord, our bodies, the entire atmosphere into your hands to take complete preeminence and control. In Jesus' name, we cast out every spirit of infirmity contrary to your will, to the delivery, the understanding, the reception and practice of the word. And we loose the angels with the servants spirit to go forth, empower us to be doers of the work and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I also bring you warm greetings from Prof and Auntie Fumi. As you can see, they're not here, but they've joined us in prayer, also joined by the power of technology from where they are. And so we'll go straight into the Word. And what we'll be sharing today is trusting God more. Sometimes we say trusting God more. You know, it's not just trusting God. The thing that makes it different now, or makes it, different from just saying trusting God. Of course, many of us trust God. Or sometimes many of us assume that we trust God. But let's even say that we trust God. It is penitent and very important that we trust God more in these times. And as we continue, you will see, as God has dropped in my heart, I trust that Himself will unveil it, you know, to touch us at our different levels. You know, it is important that we trust God more at this time. Just looking around and knowing the times and seasons that we are and seeing the things that are happening, you know, around the world, in our community, in our nation, you know, can almost make you start asking questions, you know, or start getting worried and anxious. Even personal challenges, you know, as you get to see that the reason why we need to trust God more is because of the trials and the fiery trials that we are facing, that we are seeing, you know, either as a nation, you know, as a people, or even personally in our own lives, you know. And you might be wondering and tempted to begin to ask questions. You know, you might be tempted to be tossed to and fro and begin to walk in unbelief, or drop what you've been believing and begin to ask questions. And so that's what God wants to address, because He knows our challenges, He knows what we're facing, He knows what is happening. You know, He's not unaware, you know, of what is happening. And so the word that He wants to use to encourage us, and the Holy Spirit wants to use to encourage us this evening, is to trust Him more. All right? And so the Bible tells us that when the enemy comes like a flood, the Spirit of God raises His standard against him. He did not say that the enemy will not try and come to destabilize or to challenge your faith, you know, or to make you worried or to get you into unbelief. You know, even the Lord just was tempted. You know, if it wasn't a temptation, you know what a temptation is? A temptation means that you are liable to fall. If it wasn't liable to fall, then it's not a temptation. Then we are just talking virtual reality. Do you understand? But it was a real challenge. It was a real temptation. If he took the other way, God forbid, but of course he didn't take the other way, he would have fallen into it. When Satan, and this is one of the things that we'll talk about and look about in the Luke chapter 4, where he said, "See, all these things have been given unto me." It wasn't a lie. If it was a lie, then it's not a temptation. Because Adam had delivered it to him. And he said it. Said, "All these things have been delivered unto me." You know what? Just bow down. Just worship me. Do you understand? Just worship and I will give it to you. But you know what the Lord Jesus said? What we should all do. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You shall only worship the Lord thy God, and Him alone shall you serve." And that's also, when we get into it, a point that we need to know, especially in these times when it seems as if that temptation of all that glitters is gold. Not all that glitters is gold. You're on campus and you're seeing young guys, you know, engaged in certain things and they seem to be prosperous, quote and unquote. And that temptation is there that this guy is not even coming to church or fellowship. He doesn't even know the Lord and he's getting all that. And yet the pressure and the pressures of the times, because they're in perilous times, you see, and the pressures of the times, Satan knows how to cook that thing. How to take his own people, and even though they are gunning for destruction, to make it look like the same fruits that he offered to Adam and Eve is sugar-coated death. You see, he doesn't want to go to the lake of fire alone. He's looking for more people that he can pull with him. And so with these fleeting things, you know, that looks as if he's glittering, you know, he uses it to try and sway and tempt us and try our faith. But you must say no, like the Lord Jesus. Satan, get thee behind me. Yeah, I know it's not easy, and we'll talk about the how, you know, that will grant you the strength and the confidence. So we say, Satan, get thee behind me. And you'll not be wailing and crying and mourning and regretting that, this Christianity, I'm suffering for Jesus. You're not suffering for Jesus, so. Do you understand? And so when some things happen like that, you yourself have to get to your knees and say, Lord, show me your glory. And Satan is trying to show us the glories of this world, fleeting and passing. You know, and they keep repeating it themselves. But because he's looking for people that will follow him into that broad and wide road that leads to destruction, you must be strong enough to say, no, get thee behind me. Him alone, God alone, the Lord alone will I worship and him alone will I serve. Are we together? Are we together? So these are the things that we're going to talk about trusting God more. What does it mean to trust in God? How and why are we supposed to trust in God? And how do we trust in God more? The word more is my emphasis this evening because of the more pressure that seems to be coming against us as we see that we hear, you know, that even we might be feeling, you know, and might be coming against us. And so let's start with the definition of trust, and then I'll take us through some scriptures. And so Hebrews chapter 11 first gives us what it means to even trust in God, you know, and faith and trust are synonymous. You know, they are almost the same thing. So Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 in the Amplified Bible says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things that we hope for. It is the proof of things that we do not see. It is the conviction of their reality. Faith perceives as real fact what is not yet revealed to the senses. And so this goes against what you are seeing, what you are feeling, what you are sensing, what you are smelling, what you are tasting, what you are hearing. Because, see, that is how Satan comes against us. And we do not deny the facts, but we hold God's word as more real than these things. That is faith. And you see, we need to do it more. That's what God is trying to do. God is trying to encourage us. God wants to encourage. The Holy Spirit is the encourager. And the point he wants to make is to encourage us more, that you need to continue in your faith. The faith and the trials are coming. What it is coming to do is actually to test your faith. Are you going to be taken away to the left and to the right? Are you going to be tempted, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine? The doctrines of the devils. The Bible tells us that in the end time there will be doctrines of devils. And those doctrines might not necessarily be preached from one pulpit or from one MP3 or on YouTube directly. They might be preached by the lives of men. Are you listening to me? Just like you are a living epistle and people are looking at your life to see whether they will change. You know, I've been telling us about Moses. Moses going to Egypt. And God, by his mercy and grace, told us in this 40th year anniversary of the celebration of the church that the ministry, us and all of us, are like Moses and we're like Joshua. Moses to take men out of Egypt, out of the bondage of darkness, and like Joshua to take them into the promised land. And so if you, that is, you and I that are supposed to be Moses's and Joshua's, are tempted by the temptation and the lures of Egypt, if we that are supposed to be saviors have not even saved ourselves, how can we save other people? If we that are Moses and Joshua's are still tossed to and fro by our conviction of who we are in Christ and what we have, and still tempted and lusting after the things of the world, how can we now preach or tell others about Christ? Are you listening to me? And so, because we are facing it, the cultures of this world, the culture of this world, you know, the lust of flesh, lust of life, pride of life, and culture is shifting, is dazzling. That's Satan, like a serpent, you know, they try to dazzle. And you need to know who you are in Christ and what Christ has died for and who and what we have in Christ. I listen to me, because it's like Jannes and Jambres bringing their rod. Moses casts his rod. Jannes and Jambres cast their rod. And so if you're already afraid of their own serpents, there's a challenge. That means you don't know your God. And so what God is saying is that, look, you need to know me more. You need to trust in me more. You need to be strong in me more. Is more. Greater. The word more is like greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I listen to me. You'll be more convinced and convicted about this thing that you believe in. Because as you are going into the world, you are going to face these myriads of doctrines and temptations, and you must stand strong and stay strong, because you see, the stronger one wins. Right, listen to me. The stronger one wins. And so when he dropped his rod, they dropped their rods. Observe, I use the word plural. They dropped their rod. It was just as if it was one against many. But guess what? You see, the end of a matter is better than the beginning. And that's how you have to believe about your own life too. You know, his own rod swallowed up all their rods. Their rods of wisdom of the world, of the prosperity of the world, their way of thinking, their way of talking, their lifestyle. His own rod, his own revelation, his own understanding of his God, the wisdom from above, who he is in Christ, what he has in Christ, his purpose and destiny swallowed up the other things. I listen to me, and that's your destiny in Christ. I listen to me, that's our destiny in Christ. And so God is saying you need to trust him all. And so faith is trusting in the integrity of God's word, that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. You see, that God is all wise, all powerful, omnipresent. I listen to me. Trust, faith, and we are saying more of this. Trust and faith is trusting more in the character of God, even in these times. When it looks like, oh my goodness, where is God? You are trusting his character more, that God cannot fail you, for love cannot fail you. I listen to me. You are trusting in his word more, that God can never break his word. He has said it that the words of my mouth, in the beginning was word, and the word was God, and the word was God. The words I have spoken, God watches over his word to perform it. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it and shall he not do it? Has he spoken and shall he not make it good? And you get to that point where you say, look, I don't care how long it takes. You need to begin to, you see, that's growth though. Growing, you ask plants, I know you can't ask plants, but if you look at plants, they grow in the irrespective of the challenges. There are things, there's a lot coming against them, gravity. You know, yet they grow. They sprout. They are put in the ground. Yes, the thing sprouts. And so that is why the Bible says the kingdom of God is like a seed that was put in the ground. Yet, you know what? It grew. And guess what? It works great. He says it was the smallest of the seed. Your own life, this Christ thing that we're talking about, this Christ life might be the smallest of the seed in your life compared to the challenges and the infirmities. You now come around in the environment, you know, in our culture, and then you meet people and you're interacting with them, and it almost seems as if, listen, I believe in the common. It doesn't look like the greatest. We hear it says the greatest, but it doesn't look like the greatest amongst all the other trees and all the things I'm seeing and all the things I'm facing. Yet, the Bible says that though it is the smallest of the seed, the thing grows against all odds. Right? Listen to me. And then the Bible says that it works great. And you know what? Apart from working great, the Bible tells us that all the birds of the air, all the birds of the air, they come and sprout and find a habitation in it. So again, it might look like you're the smallest, you're the least, but guess what? You're going to grow and wax great in Jesus' name. And now, of course, there are responsibilities we are just going to talk about, which is the challenge with many of us Christians. We hear these lovely things. We face the challenges, and then we see the giants. We hear there's a promised land, and then we see the giants. Yet we've been taught the things that we should do to pull down the giants and overcome the giants. But the sad thing is that is either we don't start doing the things that we have been taught to do, or we don't remain and continue to do the things that we have been taught to do. And those are the things that we need to defeat, because the enemy knows that God can never lie. He knows that God's word can never be broken. In fact, the enemy seems to believe God more than many Christians. Listen to me. And so he tries to either hinder them from starting. I mean, if it's not a terror to him and a threat to him, he would have allowed you to start now. Why is he coming against you? The Bible says that affliction arises for the word's sake. The Bible says that angels long to hear these things that we hear. Not just good angels, though. Fallen angels, too. They come to church. See, because they don't know what is happening, what's up. You know, except they hear some revelations from the pastor and from the evangelist and from the teacher and from the prophetic and the apostle dishing out God's plan and will for his children. And they have to hear and go and strategize for the week. You understand what I'm saying? But many of us are lackadaisical, we are lazy, some of us are unbelieving. And so that's what I'm saying, that the Bible says in the book of James, that even the demons believe and tremble. Are you listening to me? And God is trying to wake us up that, look, you people have atomic bomb and nuclear bomb in your spirit and you don't even know. Are you listening to me? You have the greater one, a greater weapon than the enemy. You don't even know. We have a brighter and greater destiny. His destiny is marred forever, for all eternity. The end is set for him. Forget, God can never forgive the devil. You can't even plead for him. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so all he's doing is to look for more people that can follow him, that broad and wide way that leads to destruction. And so, you know, if you have a friend and he tells you something, that he's going to give you something, and without any evidence, you believe him, and then he now gives you, how do you think that friend will feel? How do you feel that friend will feel? If I promise you something, you don't even know me that well, or there's no evidence, you just believe that I'm going to give you that thing, and then at the end I give you, how do you think I will feel? Sorry? I'll feel what? I'll feel great. I'll feel happy. I mean, you don't know me that much. You've probably not seen me. I just promised you on the phone that I'm going to give you that stuff that you asked for. Do you understand? No evidence whatsoever. And then, actually give it to you. Do you understand? And then, how do you think I will feel? I'll feel fulfilled. I'll feel happy. This guy trusted me, man. You understand? This guy believed me. He doesn't know me that much. He hasn't even seen me. Maybe just heard me on the phone. You know? You understand what I'm saying? I can't feel bad. I'll feel good. It strengthens our relationship. Now listen to me. Whether you even know the person, even when you know the person, and the person does that to you, it strengthens your trust. It strengthens your relationship. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so that's what God is saying. God is saying, look, trust me more. When you trust me more, it strengthens our relationship. You understand? And it helps you to grow. And so we said that why we need to trust in God. And what we need, when we say we are trusting God, what it means? It means that we are trusting his character, in his integrity. You know, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They say, even if he doesn't save us, we will not bow. Are you listening to me? And so that kind of thing, how do you think it makes God feel? Do you think he does it that well? They have a right. They should talk about trust. It's going to be to their destruction. You know? He doesn't think like that, too. God is love. God wants people that will trust him more. See, you don't think that God thinks that it is his right. Yes, it is his right. But because it is a relationship, God appreciates it. He values it. That's why God can say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Do you know that? That's why God can say, the one that loves me and trusts me, I will love him more. Do you understand what I'm saying? God is a God of relationships. Are we together? He's not some rigid spirit with beards, just waiting to cane you. I mean, God disciplines, but he's even in love. God is love. I listen to me. Even Satan in hell is love for you and me. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so God wants us to trust in his integrity more and his character more. Now, the next thing that God also wants us to trust in, when I say we're trusting in God more, what does he mean? We're trusting in his integrity. We're trusting in his character, that his loving kindness, his love, he will never fail us. Do you understand? That he never breaks his word. The next thing, we're also trusting in his wisdom. So we're trusting God's wisdom. And so give me Psalms 147 verse 5. Let's read it. Great is our Lord and of great power. His what? His what? Is infinite. That means that God is all knowing. See, when you trust in God, you see, situations, that's what I'm saying. Situations, when situations face us sometimes, you wonder, this scripture, does it make sense in this situation? It might not make sense, but it is truth. Are you listening to me? The point is that thy word is truth. And so, get this. Once you get some things established in your mind, God's wisdom, God's ways are deep. And God is all wise. Irrespective of the challenges, be it personal challenges, circumstantial challenges, infirmities that come against you, staring you in the face, remember this, that God is all-powerful and all-wise. Give me Romans chapter 11, 33, 36. See, this word, God's word is like hammer, and he wants to dash some strongholds, especially stronghold of unbelief, into pieces. He wants it to be like sand, that the wind will blow away. Do you understand? So irrespective of challenges, you know the challenges that you're facing personally. Irrespective of challenges economically. Irrespective of challenges nationally. Even in the world. And these things are coming against us. Sin and temptations and trials that are coming against us. God wants you to know that, look, trust me more. Trust more in my character. That I am love and I will not fail you. Trust more in my wisdom. All the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How what? Unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding. The point he's trying to make is that, look, I'm all wise. I'm in control. I'm aware of everything that is happening in your life. Now, where we are, you might be wondering, okay, he's in control, so why am I still facing it? Now, you need to tap into the wisdom. So that's why we're going to talk about the how. It's one thing to know that God is all-wise, all-powerful, yet not experiencing the power and the wisdom. Because we are not doing what we need to do to tap into it. All right, listen to me. So, you see, God is calling up higher. Like John in the book of Revelation, he heard a voice, he says, come up higher. He said he saw a door that was open, and the thing said, the voice said, come up higher. There was a responsibility still for him to come up higher. There was a responsibility for him to do some things by the grace of God. To experience and enjoy what the voice had called him up higher to come and enjoy. I listen to me. And so that's where I think many of us have shortcomings and fail. But God wants to revive us this evening and encourage us. Are we together? And so you must not look back. And you must not be drawn back out of weariness, out of tiredness, out of unbelief. That will even work. Even if you've never experienced it. Even if people around you have never experienced it. Don't live your life by men's situations, men's experiences. Live by faith and not by sight. I listen to me. There is no man, or well, there might have been, and there are few, that have walked like Jesus. And I'll tell us some things that we need, why we need to trust God more. Of course, we're already mentioning them. Because iniquity is abounding. The love of many is waxing cold. The Bible says the love of majority is waxing cold. So you have to be careful that because many people around you are not doing the right things. You have to be careful not to wax cold too. Yeah, because you see, when something is cold, every other thing around it can get cold. It's easy for you to freeze when everybody around you is frozen. Do you understand? You must be careful not to be a thermometer. As what someone said, you should be the thermostat. You know what a thermometer is? A thermometer functions according to the temperature of its environment. Do you understand what I'm saying? A thermostat controls the temperature of its environment. Why is that AC? Why, Chevy, you have a body now. What's normal human temperature? 36, right? How come we are many here with human temperature of 36, yet this place is colder? And some of us are feeling cold because of the thermostat in that AC. It is determining and controlling the temperature of the environment. And so that's why you need to trust God more. Are you going to be a temperature? Are you going to be a thermometer because everybody is messing up in class and misbehaving? You too, you start misbehaving. Or you just keep quiet. Quiet. You know? You just flow. Because they're laughing at the teacher. You too, you just giggle. Or are you a thermostat sticking uncompromisingly with what is right in any environment? I'm not necessarily praying that you're going to be shouting and, you know, overdoing things. But they know you for righteousness. They know you for purity. They know you for sense and wisdom and sanity. That's what we're talking about. All right, listen to me. And so the next thing I need to trust God more for at this time is his power. Say power. That God is all powerful. that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Give me Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13. One version says, God is all-powerful and created the universe, so he can help people through any obstacle. It says, I can do all things through what? Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do some things. All things. Give me Psalms 29:3-4. It says, God's voice is powerful and majestic. It never weakens or struggles. Philippians 29:3-4. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon many waters, great waters. The voice of the Lord is what? Powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of what? Majesty. Jeremiah 32:17. God is the all-powerful creator who made the heavens, and nothing is too hard for him. Jeremiah 32:17. The word that came to Jeremiah 32:17, verse 17. Alas, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth. Where are you living right now? Where do you walk? Where are you walking? Where are you having your classes? On Mars. Where are the situations that we are facing? Earth. And so the Bible says that you have made the heavens, which many of us haven't even been, and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. There is what? Nothing. There is just some things, just a few things. Just the Nigerian factor. Just 2024, the economic challenges that we're having. Oh, and bad governance. Nothing. And you see, you need to stare the challenges in the face with this word. Not with your natural strength or with your power, but with this word and the knowledge of these truths. Because these are the truths that will set us free. There is nothing what? Too hard or what? Too wonderful for you. Are we together? And so why do we need to trust in God more? Matthew 24:12. We've said it in passing. Matthew 24:12. We cannot afford to be thermometers. We have to be thermostats. Because this is already happening. And the culture of the times, the trials and temptations, the pressures of the times will almost and seek to cause this to happen to us. And so in Matthew 24, it says, because iniquity shall what? Abound. The love of what? Many. Majority. Shall wax cold. But you don't have to be part of that majority. I listen to me. Somebody is sleeping beside you. The person is waxing cold. Wake them up. And so, Romans 5:20. You need to trust God more. Satan will want you to sleep. So you not trust. You know, I told you that the Bible says even the angels long to look into these things because they don't have revelation knowledge. All right? So he says, moreover, the law entered that offense might abound. But where what? Grace did much more. You see, so if sin is not abounding, then there would be no need for grace to abound. There will be no need for us to have grace to trust God more. So when we are talking about trusting God more, we are not just trying to have some nice topic. It is because that is what we need. And the Bible is expressing it realistically that we need to learn to trust God more. Day by day. Month, week by week. Hour by hour, second by second, month by month, we need to trust God more. With not just some part of our life, every area of our lives. Our spiritual life, our walk with God, our prayer lives, our walk in the Spirit, that we can walk like Jesus, that we can experience and inherit what He has for us. Our health, our protection, our finances, our academics and our learning. We need to trust God more. With all these areas of our lives. That's why the Bible says that the heavens he has created. See, every part. You know, the heavens cover every area of the earth. Think about everything that you are doing. It's under the heavens. The heaven is very wide. Your challenges, not your challenges. Your needs. Your challenges. Everything might be wide on the earth. But the heavens are even wider. Are you listening to me? And God is the one that created the heavens. Do you understand? So there is no part of your life that God cannot spread over and cover. Even the heavens cannot contain God. I listen to me. So you see, you need to have God magnified. We need to have God magnified in our hearts and in our lives. That there is nothing that we are going through that God is not aware of and God cannot deal with. I listen to me. And so, the second reason why we need to trust God more. It's because what he has promised us is very great. The inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus is very great. I'll mention just a few. There are many. You know, I mean, there are many scriptures that talk about it. And it's possible for you to not believe it. And this is the greatest inheritance that you can ever have. Give me John 14, 12. Just an example of what he's saying. John 14, 12. John 14, 12. Then we'll talk about the how. John 14, 12. He says, I assure you. You see, he was looking for a way that he could convince you and me. He knew that if you read this thing and you hear, you try and say it's not us he's talking to, or maybe he was just joking, or maybe it's the pastor he's talking to, or maybe it was the old apostles he was talking to. Yet he was talking to us who are going to close the age. He says, I assure you, let's read it together. I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you. You see, he's like saying, verily, verily. Give it to us in New King James before we come here. He was trying to see, that Luke, oh, believe me, oh. See, they were saying that they've never seen God. But Jesus was telling Philip, says that if you've seen me, you've seen God. So everything that God would say, I am saying. Everything I am saying is the same thing that God is saying. Do you understand? So he says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, how many people believe in him? The works, let's read that, the works that I do, he will do also. And what? Greater works than these, because I go to the Father. How many people are already doing Jesus' works? Okay, good. Thank you. We've not even seen men that are doing the works that he did. Now, he is saying that we are going to do the works that he did and what? Greater. He's saying that, he also said it. He said that, look, this generation will not end. No word will drop without the word of God being fulfilled. This hasn't been fulfilled. Now, you can see why he's saying that you need to trust me more. Why he's saying that my glory is more than all these cars and houses and the fleeting things that the young guys are doing all around. You know, girls, gold, and gifts. 3G network. All that will fail. You have 5G network, the grace of God. I listen to me. You have more than that. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have God's wisdom. The gold, the streets in heaven is lined up with gold. So when you start to think like that, then you know that all those kind of things are not a big deal to God. All I just need to do is to say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as I grow, and I grow in character, in humility, there are some things. He says that the gold is mine, the silver is mine. See, when you know God's word, then things that are tripping boys and girls and young people will not trip you. Because by revelation, you would have dealt with it. You would have killed that lust. You'd have killed that pride. You'd have killed that give me, give me, give me, give me. That want. It will be controlled. I listen to me. You'll be different. You'll have character. You'll have ability. You have skill. You have wisdom. You'll have strength. Do you understand? You'll not be tossed to and fro, like we said. I listen to me. Are we together? And so if you also see 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 3, it says, as he is, so are we in this world. How many people are like him yet? We are going to be like him. We are growing to be like him. But he is saying that as he is, so are we in this world. You see, God's purpose for us is that we are going to be just like him. And so you see, you need to trust God more for that kind of inheritance that he's saying and he has promised us. Give me Ephesians chapter 1 and then we'll close with a how. Ephesians chapter 1. Everything I'm saying, you see, we can apply to different areas of our lives. You can scan through your heart and through your life with regards to what you're facing and the challenges and the temptations. And you know that they are staring you at the face. Yet, and what God is saying right now, you need to trust me more. You need to trust me in my character to set you free, to take you through, to set you free. You need to trust more in my wisdom and tap into it to experience my graciousness and my glory. And my resources, and my splendor, and my power. You need to trust more in my power against the power and the resources of the devil and the intimidation that is coming against you. Because greater is he, and I'm all-powerful, and I'm in you. I'm in you by my Holy Spirit. It's even the Holy Spirit that is saying it. The Holy Spirit is as much God as the Father and the Son. Are you listening to me? And that's why if he wasn't, then Jesus would be lying by saying, it is better for me to leave. He wasn't trying to be emotional. You are just being realistic. If Jesus was here today, he would be in Jerusalem. How many of us, you be in Nigeria? If you don't have a visa, you can't see him. How many calls can he take? He was as much man as we are. And so he says, it's better that I leave so that the comforter, I can send the comforter. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. I listen to me. That's why he said, it is better. So he wasn't trying to be nice and be emotionally, psychologically nice to them and say, you know, I can understand, I endure. No. He was being as real and honest that it is better that I go, and that the Holy Spirit can come and be with you in Nigeria, in Japan, in South Korea, in Ibadan, in Molete, in Bodija. Do you understand? Anywhere you are and everywhere you are, the Holy Spirit is everywhere. I listen to me. And so, you understand that God wants us to trust more in His power. And so, this inheritance that we are talking about, give me Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 first. Ephesians 1, verse 11. Because you see, even though Jesus was born by the Spirit, it was when He was 30 that He received the full measure. And so when the Lord just said that we're going to do the work, and that's when He started His miracles. He didn't start miracles at the age of 2 or as a baby, you know, or at the age of 12. He didn't do any miracles though. It was when He was 30 that He started doing miracles. And the only time He did miracle, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Him like a dove, was gentle, was a gentle mantle, a gentle presence. The mighty Holy Spirit, the all-powerful God, all-wise God, all-knowing God, came upon Him like a dove, gently. No razzmatazz, no noise and waves and thunder and lightning. It came on Him like a dove, gentle and meek. And it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh not some things, all things, after the counsel of His will. If you go to verse 17, it says that we have a guarantee, we have a deposit of that inheritance. And the evidence of the deposit of the inheritance, you know what it means to deposit something? It's like someone that hasn't paid his whole school fees, and he deposits. So you can pay the rest later. And so what God has deposited in us is the person of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit that we have right now is just a deposit. We don't even have the full power of the Spirit. We don't have the full wisdom of the Spirit. We don't have the full ability of the Spirit. It's just a deposit. And then you are seeing it. And the challenge again is that even though we have this deposit, we are not using the deposit. So how do you expect Him to now entrust you? He's longing to pour the whole thing into your life to overcome that sin nature completely. The God of peace to bruise Satan under your feet completely. To overcome the challenges in every aspect of our lives. And if we've not used the deposit to pray in tongues, because the evidence of a deposit is when you pray in the Spirit. How much more if we now pour the whole thing on you? Are you sure you don't just flenjo or largesse and not pray at all? If with the deposit, we are not doing the needful every day like we've been hearing, we are not reading our Bible, we are not consistent in prayer, in waking up to prayer, and following this simple instruction. When you now pause the whole thing, are you not just going to largesse? And so now you see why we need to trust God more. Now you see why we need to wake up to the reality of the challenges of the time. Now you see why we need to do the needful to overcome these challenges. Are you listening to me? Are we together? Okay, now, so how can we trust God more? How can we trust God more? We've talked about what it means to trust God more. Trust in His integrity or His word, that God can never lie. Concerning giving you everything He has in His heart. Pouring out His Spirit. Pouring out the whole of His being. The Bible talks about the fullness of God. And then meeting you at your point of need. At my point of need. Health, wealth. You know, academics and learning, challenges. You look at Daniel. They trusted God more. The man had a dream, and he forgot his dream, and he started killing them. That was their business. And the Bible says they trusted God more because he told his friends, and in the middle of the night, they prayed. They asked God for His mercies, and the Bible says something about Daniel. Let me just show you that before I talk about the how and conclude with the how. In Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 2, verse 21 to 22, to encourage us. Says, Daniel 2, 21 to 22. Says, and He changeth the times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives what? wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals what? Deep and what? Secret things. He knows what is in what? Darkness. And the light dwells with him. Say, I don't know how dark it can be. God knows it. See, we have a God. If only we believed the Bible and we searched the scriptures and we surrounded ourselves with such scriptures and we surrounded ourselves with such truths. You know that it doesn't matter what challenge you're going through. There is a solution to that challenge in the scriptures. But many times we have refused to... The Bible talks about... This is not an insult, but the Bible talks about it. That, you see, an ostrich places its head in the soil, even in the midst of the surrounding, and then it leaves its eggs, a bear. You know, other birds would dig the ground down, even put their eggs inside, and also, what's the word, or in a nest. But you know what the ostrich does? The ostrich just leaves it around, and then the ostrich puts its head under, in the midst of surroundings, and it says it was like a rebuke to the ostrich in the book of Job. How foolish the ostrich is that many humans are like that. And so, you know, many Christians too are like that. In the midst of all the challenges and the perils of the time, we don't look into the Word. We keep looking under, keep looking around, looking for the solution around, looking for somebody to lay hands on us for a complete deliverance. And I've told you, they can lay hands on you till you have bald head. Laying of hands is just, it has its place. But many times, you see, God doesn't want us to live by that. God wants us to grow up. You know, I said it again, that if you have a car, I don't care how fine the car is, if it's a Lamborghini or Benz or the latest Toyota Camry or RAV, you know, and or Jaguar, and they're always pushing it on campus. They're always pushing it, jump start. Wouldn't they name you as jump start? Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't live by jump start. Do you want to live by jump start? You want to live by the best engine and the best battery. You know? You understand what I'm saying? You can't live by jump starts. Jump start has its place, but ultimately it's for you to fix the car. Are you listening to me? So those things have their gifts, have their place, but fruit is what really goes eternally. You know, before I now end with this, the how, very simple. I found out, as you get to see, that God really is not saying, he has given us cheat sheets, you know, in computing. Because I deal with commands, you know, for servers. You can't know all the commands at once. You have to learn it over months and over years and get familiar with it. I have lots of commands, especially if you're dealing with servers, Linux, Unix, and you want to, or if you're dealing with codes. But you might not know, or if you're doing HTML, or you want to build a website, you might not know all the codes, but there is a cheat sheet that contains what the most important things that are used in those environments. Do you understand what I'm saying? And or it's like formulas that we know that we're going to use consistently and constantly. You understand? And we have it in every field. And so God has given us a cheat sheet because I found that the things, the instructions that we're given to use every day, it still goes back to the things I'm going to talk about. And so, what I wanted to say before saying that was just to encourage you with this scripture. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17. Verse 7 to 8. To encourage you that, you see, you need to trust God. And the reason why I can deliver this message with such passion again, because, see, we are going through the same things. Might not be specifically the same, but we're in the same Nigeria, where the challenges, the trials, temptations as young adults, I've been through some of them. They're still facing me. You know, you are going through them. We're in the same nation. We're in the same place where the whole creation is groaning and looking for a solution. You know, to the challenges of the times, the perils. There's really nobody that is immune to it. But how can we overcome it, and how can we prevail against it? That's what we're talking about, the solution of trusting God more. I listen to me. And so in Jeremiah 17:7-8, it says, let's read it. Blessed is the man that what? In the Lord. And what? Whose hope the Lord is. Your hope is not in things. Your hope is not in people. Your hope is not in the president or the vice president. Sorry to disappoint you. You pray for him. Or else, if you keep expecting men, men will fail you. Because they themselves, they are men. The rector can fail you. The lecturer can fail you. Your roommate can fail you. He's a man. The Bible says, God, Jesus did not entrust anything to them because he knew what is in man. See, the sin nature is in man. He's in you and me. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, that's why he says, at the end of this verse, he says something. He says, the heart of a man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So, he says, your trust in the Lord, it is not fanatism. You're not being a fanatic or you're not being religious by trusting the Lord. Let me tell you, that's where the solution is. In his character, in his wisdom, in his power. The challenges of the time are beginning to show us that we must look somewhere else. We must look to somebody else. He has always been there, but hitherto we have said, you know, come on, man. We can look into our technology. We can look into social media. People have gone through. We can look to celebrities. You can look to Instagram or Facebook. You can look to Twitter. You can find the solution there. You can look. You might not be saying to your mouth, but you know every time you are searching, apart from the Bible, you are searching for that byway. You are searching for that shorter way. Seemingly shorter way. You're searching for that broad way. You're searching for that ministry or that fellowship where it just seems like, you know, they don't take us through this kind of stress, man. You know, they preach something that is more exciting, do more exciting things. See, those things will come. They have their place. But it cannot be the primary thing and cannot be your priority because that's not the solution. And so the man, he's saying, blessed is the man, the youth, the boy, the girl, the woman that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a what? Tree. This 48th year, we're saying that we're going to be trees planted in the house of the Lord. Planted by the what? Waters. It's not as if we can't just get away from this life, this water. We've been talking about life and water. We're talking about Joab to take the stronghold of Zion. They passed through the pipes where water was flowing. There's something about water. Planted by the waters, that what? Spreadeth out her roots by the water, by the river. And so you are seeing again the spreading of your roots, rooted and grounded in love. We've been talking about praying that prayer. And you see, going back to this thing again. The one that trusts, see, because love always trusts. Love never fails. Roots by the river and shall not what? See when heat comes. It's not saying that heat will not come. Don't deceive yourself. Anybody tells that you will not face the heat in Jesus' name. Yes, we don't want to face the heat. But to say that the heat will not come is a lie. He is saying that heat, and you can say the challenge of the time is like heat. The temperature is rising. But there is an assurance that if you trust in the Lord and hope in Him, it's not a popular thing. It doesn't look something that, you know, I can post on social media and just say, come on, trust in the Lord, man. It looks, everybody's talking about trust in AI. You know, they might not be saying it that way. They're saying trust in the way you dress, trust in the way you look, trust in the way you go, trust in this, trust in the school that you are. People have what they are trusting. They are trusting degrees. People are trusting all kinds of things, though. They might not say it with their mouth, but we all know what we trust in subtly. But he is saying trust in the Lord. And you don't say, oh, you know, that's the Bible, it's Old Testament, you know. So let's talk about 21st century. Millennials, Gen Z stuffs. Let me tell you, this is what's going to save our lives, though. The old paths. And so he says, trust in the Lord. Make the Lord your hope. You'll be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out her roots, spread in every area of your life. It's touched by the rivers and shall not what? See or feel when the heat comes. But her leaf shall be what? Green. When men say there's a cast down, there's a problem, you'll be flourishing and be green. It might not be natural. People might not be talking about it, but it doesn't mean that it cannot be your own testimony. And shall not be careful or be anxious in the year of drought. These are challenges and droughts in the land. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Direct opposite of what people are talking about, people are facing, people are posting, people are shouting about. You, your own life is different and like this. And my own life is like this. Why? Because we trust in the Lord and make the Lord our hope. The year of drought, I don't know if it is coming. I don't know whether we're already in it. I don't know. I don't even want to focus on that. Do you understand what I'm saying? The temperature, the heat of the season, I don't want to. What I'm focused on is, Lord, help me to trust you more. Lord, help me to make you my hope so that I can tree by the that is planted by waters whose roots are spreading by the river. I don't even want to see the heat, Lord. Let's not be talking about the heat, guys. I don't want to talk about the heat. But I want my leaves to be green. And I don't want to be careful or be anxious in the year of droughts. I don't even know there's droughts happening. Do you understand? It's the same thing that Jesus was saying about the kingdom of God. There is like a seed that is planted and then knows it grows. It takes roots downward. It bears fruit upward. He says it works great. He didn't even say whether it was dry or it was hot. It just tells us that it grows and it works great. And the birds of the air. That's what people are looking for. People are looking for solution. People are looking for solution. Why is there groanings and protests worldwide? People are looking for solution. The government they voted in hasn't been able to perform because there are economic cycles all around the world. The best nations are having their challenges. You listen to me. The best nations, the best presidents have come to their wits' end. And they themselves are looking for solution. It's not them you want to be looking at. And that is end bad governance. How people want to do end bad governance? Because they know that, look, man, they've done this thing over and over again. That is not the solution. The solution is this. And somebody has to knock on the door and break it open and begin to show other people that, guys, it's trusting in the Lord, though. And it's not by mouth, but by this how that we'll finish with. See, the first thing that you must know about the how to trust in the Lord, the first thing you must know is that you must walk in love. Say you must walk in love. What's another word for trust? Let's say it together. Another word for trust is what? So more trust means what? More trust means more what? Good. So to guarantee that your faith will even work, give me Galatians. So that's what we end with. Galatians chapter 5 verse 6. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 6. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Is already there, right? Okay, good. I was trying to show us something, but I was still sure. It says, for in Jesus Christ, neither what? Circumcision avails much, availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. You see, it's not by whether I'm circumcised or uncircumcised. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with things that the way I look, the things that I do, you know, where I'm from, whether I'm British or American or Nigerian. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do whether I'm Catholic or Protestant or Orthodox. Has nothing. God is not looking at all that. He's not looking at circumcision or uncircumcision, bond or free, male or female, gender. You know, he's not looking at culture. He's not looking at nationality. It says, but what? Faith which works by what? Faith works by what? Say, read it too. Faith works by. So if your faith has not been working, maybe you've been working on forgiveness. I listen to me. The way you charge your phone, the way your phone works, is by the battery and because it is plugged to an adapter that is plugged to a socket. No socket, no charge. Now listen to me. No battery, no iPhone working. I don't care how fine your phone is. Now listen to me. I don't care what kind of Android device you're using. No battery, no work. No socket and power, no phone is charging. Faith works by love. Now, you now go back. See, I'm referring you to, I'm just looking for scriptures. I'm just showing you scriptures that will refer you to those landmarks of the paths of life. You will observe that the landmark of the path of life will tell you that choose to fear God or confess your sins, worship God. The next thing is to confess the love confessions. And then you now start confessing the word and the prayers. And then you now pray in the spirit. If you don't have a background of love, observe what Pastor was saying last week. Your faith will not work. Maybe it's somebody's faith that is working in your life, and you feel that, oh, you know, I don't like that guy. I don't like that my roommate. I don't like that teacher, that lecturer. My parents disappointed me. And you're rude. And then maybe things are still happening in your life. Satan is deceiving you. Or maybe somebody's, maybe it's your grandma's prayer that is just working on you by mercy and grace. Faith works by love. And it takes you, you have to go back to these landmarks of the path of life to see whether it's in line with scripture. I don't have power or connected to the socket. Phone can never charge. The battery cannot charge. And if there's no charged battery, your phone ain't going to work. Are you listening to me? And so the Bible tells us, so the more I grow in love, the more kind of faith I'm going to have. It says that if I have the faith and moves mountain, I walk not in love, it is nothing. Are you listening to me? Are we together? The more love you walk in, the more faith you walk in. The more love of God you walk in, the more trust in God you will have. Are we together? One more with regards to this faith worketh by love. Give me Jude 1, 20 to 21. Jude 1, 20 to 21. And so, I mean, I've described it. If I have a phone and I have a charging port and I place it here and I charge it and I put it on, the phone begins to charge. And so in the book of Jude, he says, but ye beloved, building up. The word building up in the original Greek means charging up yourselves. Charging up yourselves on your most holy faith. You are Christians on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. How do I charge myself? I pray in the Holy Ghost. I keep myself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it is because of your mercy that you will not be consumed. And so you can see that there's always love connected with praying, connected with faith. Faith works by love. The more love I'm walking in, the more I'm growing in love, the more forgiveness I'm walking in, the more trust in God I will have. The more faith in God will work. The more I am walking in love, the more I'll be building up myself, I'll be charging up myself in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And so what I just want to submit to you, see, because we can keep talking and talking and talking, all the instructions, the summary of the things I should be doing on a daily basis to grow in love, so that I can grow in faith, so that my faith and trust can work, is in that landmark of the path of life. You can see that when it talks about a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, someone that trusts in God, he said that his roots go deep, they spread. Observe that one of the prayers is, Father, strengthen me by your spirit in my inner man, so that Christ will dwell in my heart by faith, that I may become more, what? Rooted and grounded in love. The Pauline prayers summarize the things I need to do. The instructions in that landmark summarize everything I need to do. I need to pray in the spirit. How can you tap in the wisdom of God? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says that the wisdom of God is very deep. But the Holy Spirit, he searches the deep things of God. And when we speak in tongues, we speak mysteries, even the wisdom of God. So you are now beginning to see why, in the midst of being rich, in the midst of all the wealth and resources of heaven that we have, we are still living like poor men. The Bible says that ye are gods and all of you are children of the Most High, but you will die like mere men. That will not be our portion. Why are Christians dying like mere men instead of walking as gods in the midst of the challenges and over the challenges? Because the Bible says that you do not know. They do not know. They do not do what they are supposed to do. It is not the hearers of the word that are blessed, O brethren. It is the doers of the work. It is those that begin to practice. Those that begin to believe. The Bible says God counted it to Abraham as faith. Why? Because he believed. He counted him as righteousness because he what? Believed. So these are things that you need to start practicing these things. Whether it is popular, just check whether it is in line with scripture. You can observe that without saying much, the things I'm already saying, they're already summarized by instructions. So by the time I'm praying for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, I'm praying for wisdom. By the time I'm praying in tongues, I'm tapping into the wisdom of God. By the time I'm praying in the spirit, I'm tapping into the wisdom of God. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You want to be strong in power and in might and in strength. You need to pray in the spirit. God is all powerful, but how can you tap into his power if you're not praying in the spirit? How can you know the wisdom of God and have the wisdom of God if you're not praying in the spirit and reading the word of God? These things are not going to fall like ripe cherries, though. You know, because we have an enemy that doesn't want us to, one, know. Two, if you know, practice it or do it. Because he knows that that is his doom. And it is your triumph. Let's bow our heads as we pray. So I'll continue to refer us to the landmark. Again, we heard it last week. We didn't even hear anything different. There is no other path to go than the path of life. As they say in English and in the world, we heard from the horse's mouth. Or let's say it the way the scriptures say it. We heard from the shepherd himself. Our father in the house. What did he come and teach us? Nothing apart from the path of life. Not because he doesn't have anything to say. Well, 40 years have passed. I don't say where they have stopped. It's not, they have not stopped. But after 40 years, where they have passed through the land, they are dishing out to us so that we can begin to experience this thing in 4 months, 4 weeks, 4 years, less than them. You don't have to go through 40 years. We don't even have 40 years on this planet before Jesus comes. We don't have 40 years. But so that we is a relay race, so that we can finish in style and in glory. This thing, the Holy Spirit has packaged it. The landmarks to the path of life. Confess your sins every day. Worship God with a hymn or with a song to praise God and to bless God. Confess the prayers of 1 Corinthians 13 for love, because faith cannot work without love. Pray the Pauline prayers for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to be rooted and grounded in love, like that tree in Jeremiah, and your roots spread. When the heat comes, you will not see it or feel it. You will not be a partaker of it. When the temperature is high, you will not be changed because you are a thermostat. Then you draw life. Remember, it's by the rivers of water. The tree is planted by water. By the rivers of water, that is life. The Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. I have come that I might have life and have him abundantly. There are promises that promise us eternal life. And then you pray in the Spirit every day to tap into the wisdom of God, and so that Christ, the nature of God, the character of God, can be formed in you. And throughout the day, you keep praying. You keep committing your activities, your challenges into the hand of the Lord. Be it nature, be it temperament, whatever it is, be it health, be it challenge, be it financial issues, commit it to the hands of the Lord. Pray in the Spirit about it. And you'll be like that tree planted by the rivers of water. We trust in you.
Our faithful God, how perfect is your
love. Let's just stand up as we pray together.
You answer us.
You answer us before we call. Our hope, our strength, our song, and we'll shout for joy. We'll bless you, Lord, because your plan stands firm forever. Your praise and your praise will be continually, yes, pouring from our hearts. And as all we now bless you, Lord, we now bless you, Lord, how our soul cry out for you, our God. We now bless you, Lord, how our soul cry out for you, our God. We now bless you, Lord.
So we're going to pray one prayer together. I want one hand in your heart, one hand up. According to Ephesians chapter 3, we saw the same thing in Jeremiah, like that tree that trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, that makes the Lord his hope. In this season, look at all the things that may be facing you, challenges personal, nature-wise, character-wise, health-wise, financial-wise, family, nation, community, you know, bombarding, you know, and you know to go, you know your hearts, and you know according as you've heard, that we need to trust in God more. And so there's one prayer we'll just pray. He says, Father, say, Father, we confess our sins. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that we've heard to help us to trust in you more, irrespective of the challenges of the time, personal, cultural, national,
no matter the type of challenge. Heavenly Father, we ask and receive your mercy, grace, and help to trust in you more, more than these things that we see, more than the things that we feel, more than the things that we hear. And so, that you grant us fresh mercy, more grace, more help to trust in you and do those things that will help us to trust in you, keeping ourselves in your love, keeping in the path of life, building ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ throughout the day, in every circumstance, in every situation, concerning every matter. Please give us afresh and more the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Strengthen us by your spirit in our inner man, so that Christ will dwell, will be formed in our hearts by faith, that we will become more rooted and grounded in your love. Our roots will take and go downward, will spread by the rivers of waters. We will not know heat, we will not know anxiety in the name of Jesus. We will comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of the love of God that passes mere knowledge in the name of Jesus. And we'll be filled with all the fullness of God more and more in every area, in every circumstance, in every situation. It will give us divine protection, divine provision, divine security, divine presence, divine peace, divine ability, skills, resources, favor in every circumstance and situation, that your kingdom will come in our lives, in our home, in our environment, in our nation, in our campuses, and your will be done on earth in every area that pertains unto us as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Raske Traniske Jakataria Genevroluske Putoria Banaskaya Jakaturi Bezintere Bajakata Mercy Bodakaya Bruniske Didaria in every area, Bakaria Mazukto, upon our wills, our minds, our emotions, our in and upon our emotions, our physical bodies, our health and kawashaka, finances, circumstances, regional heavens, our environment, Mashaya, our rooms, the Bakuria, Balaska, our families, the Meshike, Tutoria, our communities, Acadia, city, Bakuria, state, nation, Brook, Katedralia, our region, and anywhere you've planted us. In Jesus' name, we use the opportunity to pray for everyone that is going through one challenge or the other. Lord, that your kingdom will come, your will be done. In your presence, every mountain will melt like wax. Valleys will be filled. Crooked places will be made, rough places will be made, so that people will know you more. Your glory will be revealed, and all flesh will see it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's take